This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
One, two, three, four!
Listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm the barbarian Andrew Rich. Joining me, as always, on this muscular mystery tour, my good friend and partner, the score lord, Chris Maffei. Together, we are your hosts, the Power Chords of Pain. And Chris, before we delve into things here, I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who listened to our Metallica episode. We got a lot of great feedback on it, which is always nice to hear, and we got a lot of listens too. We don't normally, you know, give the numbers out for our episodes, but it's our most listened to episode in a long while. And I know we were both very enthusiastic about it during the recording and afterwards. So to see it do so well and to see it be received so well is very rewarding, to say the least. So the listeners, thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of time and a lot of love went into it. So we really appreciate everyone who had kind words to say about it and everyone who enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Today, we are joined by a very special guest co-host. You can hear him as one of the hosts of Open the Voice Gate, the Dragon Gate podcast that is also part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. Coming to us live via the magic of the interwebs from Japan, it's Milo Martinez. Milo, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on.
I wanted to be on here. Was extremely jealous of John when they made it. Like, well, what about little old me? No, I'm kidding. The episode that you did with John, I thought was really, really awesome and extremely funny too, which I listened to it while doing, like, waiting in line for some, like, paperwork, and I think people thought I was crazy. But, you know, when do people not think I'm crazy?
Well, thank you for agreeing to come on our show, especially since the time difference is always a bit rough. People living in such drastically different locations. I know with Jojo Remy, that episode, it was kind of a hassle to get our schedules lined up. So thank you. I know it's morning there. It's nighttime for us. So thanks for, you know, managing to find a way to work around our busy schedules here.
We are 13 hours. Right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Before we start, Milo, do you want to just give the listeners a very brief summation of your own history with Dragon Gate fandom, how you started and all that stuff?
It's funny. I was talking, I feel like I talked about this a lot recently because I talked about it with Jojo, and I think I talked about it on the latest episode of Open the Voice Gate, that I'm a fairly new wrestling fan compared to a lot of you guys, compared to John and Mike and even previously Case, who is younger than me but has been watching for a lot longer than I have. And I don't really like to talk about it that much because I feel like wrestling fandom is a place where your worth is kind of based on how much history you've lived through, right? So I don't really like to talk about being a newer fan so much because it's always like, oh, you know, he's only been watching for X amount of time. That means he doesn't know as much as we do or whatever. I started watching Dragon Gate in late 2015. So about 2 years. It's been about 2 years now. And one of the first matches I saw, since this is thematic of this episode, one of the first matches that I saw was Jimmy's versus Matt Blanky.
Oh.
I feel like it was a pretty intense introduction to the promotion.
Was that the Jimmy's Matt Blanky match where Kness turned? Is that the one?
Yes, the losing unit disbands match.
I see, yes.
I still love it so much. So yeah, it's been a pretty wild ride with me and Dragon Gate. I feel like recently I've been very, very, very critical of it, but it's a promotion that I feel does what it does better than anyone. And, you know, it's something that's so self-contained, right? Dragon Gate, it's a promotion that they don't work with other promotions that much. They don't really send their guys elsewhere. They don't really receive people from outside. So it's been interesting to see how they work with such a tight roster when every other promotion can kind of bring people in and out as they please, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, my history with Dragon Gate is, I feel pretty mundane. I just discovered the promotion and then I watched like 15 years of it.
Fair enough.
That's what I do.
Today is episode 19, and as far as Dragon Gate goes, we're here to talk about, you know, the Jimmys. We are here to pay our respects and mourn the loss in our own special way to the Jimmys, which is, or was, I should say, the longest running unit in Dragon Gate history. And the second longest unit in Dragon Gate's system history.
First was Crazy Max. Right?
Yes, Crazy Max is number one. They're the longest in the Dragon system history. Jimmy's number two overall. And they lasted from March 3rd, 2012 to September 18th, 2017. And the reason they had to split up, no infighting, no crazy angles. It's just they lost a unit disband match against Berserk, another Dragon Gate unit. If you haven't done so, go read Michael Spears' excellent article about the Jimmys.
Yes.
That was just put up recently, available on voicesofwrestling.com. He goes into a lot of great detail and time about the history of the Jimmys, why they were important, the different members. It's been documented on this podcast before that my own knowledge of the intricacies of Dragon Gate are a little limited because I don't really follow it. I know who the wrestlers are. I know their names, what they look like. I've seen matches of theirs. It's just not on my, you know, regular schedule. I want to. It's just a matter of time and, you know, accessibility to content. But from what I've read over the years, from the various clips I've seen, from the, you know, various GIFs I've seen, I can tell that the Jimmys were an extremely beloved stable by their fans. And because I don't follow Dragon Gate, I don't have that, you know, personal connection to the Jimmys, that personal, you know, that deep emotional connection to the Jimmys that other people would have. But, you know, knowing you, Chris, knowing you, Milo, I'm sure you guys had, you did have that with the Jimmys. Milo, you're our guest. We'll start with you. What did the Jimmys mean to you? And if you can, please don't cry. Please. It's very emotional, I know, but please hold your tears as best you can.
It's going to get gay up in here. No, like I said, so the Jimmys were involved in one of the first Dragon Gate matches I ever saw. So that losing unit to Spans match with Matt Blanky. And so not only was it that, but it was also a match that was very important for them as a unit because it's when they gained Kness and, you know, reunited Kineska. So they were favorites basically from the get-go. There hasn't really been a time for me in my Dragon Gate fandom where I was a little lukewarm on the Jimmys or I didn't care about the Jimmys or I didn't like the Jimmys because of my introduction to them. They were always one of my favorite units. They were always people that I really enjoyed watching, and they're so likable as individuals as well that it's really what draws you. I mean, I think it's the appeal of the stable. I think it's why they existed in the first place, that they're just so likable and so personable, and they're just kind of the everyday guys. And I really always liked that about them. When you had other units that were maybe flashier or that you felt maybe brought more to the table, the Jimmys were a cornerstone. They were a unit that you could always count on to put on, you know, you wanted a fun six-man, you could get it with the Jimmys. You wanted an intense two-on-two tag match, you could get it with the Jimmys. You could pick any one of them, and they have amazing, they're still wrestling. And I'm acting like they're all dead.
Yeah, they're all fine. They're all fine. It's just that they just split up. That's all it is. Yeah.
Like I was going to say, you could pick any one of them and also have a strong individual wrestler. For me, they were just an extremely well-rounded unit, so likable, so great to have around in Dragon Gate when things got a little too crazy or when things got a little dull. I feel like the Jimmys always had that 1-2 punch that could get things going. And you can see it with stuff like, you know, Susumu's Dreamgate reign in early 2016, or with Katatora finally getting the Brave Gate, or Katatora and Susumu's Twin Gate reign, which was amazing, or, you know, their rivalry with Maximum was so great, and it really, really helped kickstart Maximum. So yeah, for me, when I think of the Jimmys and their 5-year tenure in Dragon Gate, I really think of cornerstones. As much as the individual members being historic members of the Dragon Gate roster are cornerstones, the Jimmys as a unit were also a cornerstone. And I feel like we lost something very important. And I don't know if it's ever going to be, not only if it's ever going to be the same again, but I don't think they're ever going to be able to replicate something like that. Even if they try to make another veteran unit or something with the same kind of concept, you know, the Jimmys were so unique. They lasted for so long that it's never really going to be the same.
Yeah, it'd be real hard to recapture that magic, I think. I think cornerstone is a great word. I forgot who said it, but there was a sentiment on the last Open the Voice Gate that, you know, whatever was going on, whatever unit shenanigans were going on at any given time, at least there were the Jimmys. At least that was always there, and you could always look to them the Jimmys to me were everything that is good about Dragon Gate and everything that is good about just pro wrestling in general. I think that's what the Jimmys represented to me when I first got into Dragon Gate in 2014, when I first really started following it regularly, because I'd been familiar with it through ROH and things like that in the early 2000s. But when I really started to watch it, the Jimmys were something that immediately jumped out to me, not only them as wrestlers, but the music too, which is such a big part of why I gravitate towards certain wrestlers and certain units. Their music for me just said so much about them, and we're going to get into all that, but I really have a soft spot in my heart for the Jimmys. They're probably always going to be my favorite unit in wrestling, and I really miss them.
See, I'm not the one who's going to cry. I can't remember who said that on Open the Voice Gate. Honestly, it could have been any one of us because we were very emotional that day. But it's true that the Jimmys were really kind of a fixed point, because we went through all the units that existed and of the units that disbanded during the existence of the Jimmys, and there were so many. Millennials, Dear Hearts, Monster Express, they all existed and died during the lifespan of the Jimmys. And those were very turbulent times, but the Jimmys were always there.
Here's my thing with the Jimmys. I read in Michael's article about how the group came together. So basically what happened was Susumu Yokosuka and Kage Tora lost a match, and their opponents, Akira Tozawa and BB Hulk from the Blood Warriors unit, they said, you know what? You guys are losers. You're plain. You're boring. We hate the way you dress. We hate you. Because we won the match, we get to give you guys new names. So we're going to give you guys new names that reflects all that we hate about you. And that new name became Jimmy, because in Japanese, the word Jimmy means plain. So they became Jimmy Susumu and Jimmy Kage Tora. And then a few weeks later, Blood Warriors kicked out Genki Horiguchi, Ryo Saito, Yasushi Kanda, because they thought they were dead weight. And those three guys decided to team up with Susumu and Kage Tora and adopt the name Jimmy in solidarity. So they became Jimmy Kanda, Ryo Jimmy Saito, and Genki Horiguchi, H-A-G-Me, which is a pretty clever pun, if I do say so. So that's how the Jimmys came together. They were a bunch of outsiders, cast-offs, misfit toys, if you will. They had nowhere else to go. And I think all of us, you know, myself, Milo, Chris, the listeners, all of us at some point in our lives, in some form or fashion, have felt like outsiders. And I completely understand how people can look at the Jimmys and find them to be so endearing and so lovable, because you just want this group of guys who are misfits and downtrodden and don't have anywhere else to go. You want them to succeed, and you want them to be good friends and to stay together and be happy and thrive. Like all of us, you know, they're a very relatable group. So with all that said, let's get to the episode at hand. The structure of the episode is pretty simple. We're going to do the themes of the Jimmys. First, the unit themes, then the individual themes. Most of these themes, by the way, you can find them on the album Dragon Gate Official Soundtrack Jimmy's Train 2015. There are a couple songs that are not on this album that you can get elsewhere. We'll name the albums they're on in due course. So if you have the means, check those albums out for all your Jimmy's needs. And we'll start with the main unit theme, the one that Dragon Gate fans have come to know and love. It's by Mick Ariki, and it's called Jimmy Knee Satisfaction.
One, two! 1, 2, 3, 4!
We are Jimmy!
We are Jimmy!
I've heard a lot of themes over the years. Some good themes, some bad themes, some light, some heavy. This theme might be one of the happiest songs that I've ever heard. It's so upbeat and fun and energetic. You got the oi, oi, oi chants there as well. Those are a lot of fun. It's just a good time. Even the way the lead singer sings the song, I can practically hear the smile on his face as he's singing it. It's so upbeat, so positive. That energy, it's so infectious. You can't help but sing along and smile as well. It's like Dragon Gate's version of a Ramones song.
Yeah.
It's so fantastic and like so punk and upbeat and very energetic. It's so great. What about you, Milo? Your thoughts on the Jimmy's theme?
The thing about this song is that if you're a Dragon Gate, like, and when I say if you're a Dragon Gate fan, I don't mean like you don't have to be a hardcore fan, but if you're a Dragon Gate fan, if you're someone who somehow follows Dragon Gate in any capacity, you hear that song, you know you're about to have a good time. Mm. That's basically how I always felt about it, is that I knew that even if I was unhappy, even if I was down, even if I, you know, had a bad night the day before, I knew if I heard that song, I was about to be able to forget my problems for a little while, just enjoy the Jimmies and their joyful presence. And it's really a song that whenever I hear it now, even when I'm like listening to it on my phone, walking down the street, it makes me happy. It's a very simple thing. It just makes me happy.
Yeah, this is, if there's ever a wrestling theme that's going to make you happy, it's this one. You know, as soon as you hear the one, two, three. I mean, you know you're in for a good time. Like Milo said, the word that just comes to my mind when I hear this theme or think about it is just delightful. I mean, that's, you can use that word to describe the Jimmies as a whole, but it's just so delightful. Much like the unit itself, I think that this song is everything that's great about Dragon Gate. And it sets the mood that, you know, it's about to be a good time. And it establishes so much within just the first few bars of it. We know immediately who it is. We know what they're about. We know that they're going to have a good time. And we also know that they're proud to be Jimmies, which is the main thing about the Jimmies, is that they're so proud to be who they are. Would they could so easily just reject it or just not want to be themselves and struggle with that. They own it. They're proud to be Jimmies, and they put that right on Front Street right in the beginning of the song. And I think that's key to why the song is so great, because they're having fun, we're having fun, and everyone is just totally into it. It's catchy, it's hooky, it's fun. It's also just so memorable. Yeah. You can come away from your first Dragon Gate show and you'll remember this theme, I guarantee it. If there's one thing you remember from the entire show, it will probably be this theme.
That line, "We are Jimmies," it's pretty hard to miss. You know, it just repeated over and over and over again, which on the one hand, it's a fun line to sing along with. But on the other hand, like you said, Chris, it really, you know, embodies the spirit of the Jimmies themselves. Because being a Jimmy was supposed to be an insult originally to Susumu and Kagetora. But the repetition of the line and the enthusiastic delivery of the line suggests that there's no shame in being a Jimmy. Being a Jimmy is great, and we're proud of it. And that's what happened with the group in real life. So having the line repeated over and over again reinforces the positive babyface outlook of the group. Even the title of the song, "Jimmy Knee Satisfaction," implies that they are satisfied and content with being Jimmies.
I also think that having something like "oi, oi, oi" for crowd participation,
yes,
is another just added fun element. The crowd can get into it, and it just creates a party-like atmosphere and a really fun atmosphere. And who wouldn't want to be there and hear this song live? Who wouldn't want to be there and experience that? So for that, in terms of a unit theme song, I think this nails it on every level. And you got a nice little guitar solo in there too.
Now, there are some alternate versions of the Jimmy's theme. The first one we'll bring up is the Genki Horiguchi H.A. Jimmy vocal mix.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
We are Jimmy.
Say what you will about Genki Horiguchi, but that man is not half bad when it comes to belting out a tune. He can hold his own when it comes to the microphone. He's got the energy down pat, that's for sure. Of course, it wouldn't be a Genki Horiguchi song without a little H-A-G-me chant, which is thrown in there for good measure. Of course, the notable alteration with this song as well is the line, "We are Jimmies." They sing not just that, but Genki sings, "We are Jimmies, you are Jimmies. We are Jimmies, you are Jimmies." Which, you know, talk about, you know, the connection between the Jimmies and the fans. There you go. You know, a group that's all about, you know, inclusivity and being together and being proud and one. What better way to emphasize that than to bring the fans into the theme and say, if you're like us, if you don't fit in, the doors are open. You're a Jimmy too. Milo, your thoughts on the Genki theme?
I like it. No, I like it because, I mean, if there's anyone who emphasizes and personifies everything that it means to be a Jimmy, it's Genki. He's just such a fun and original character. And he's always been, like, as a heel, he's fucking crazy, he looks like you know the expression like a bat out of hell?
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like the bat. He's a heel. He's the bat that just came out of hell. But it's what I love about him, you know. And as a face, he's so funny. He has the best facial expressions. But you know, he's that quirky guy that, you know, if to go with a running theme on Voices of Wrestling, if Dragon Gate was a high school, Genki would be the drama club leader that all the bullies pick on.
Oh.
But he's proud of who he is.
Yeah.
He is Genki Horiguchi, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Genki Horiguchi is a fucking treasure.
He is. He really is.
He's a treasure, and I mean, so is this version. Tell me that when you're expecting the Jimmy's theme, but this version comes on, that the smirk doesn't get even bigger when you're watching a show.
Genki voice.
He really does. And you know what? My girlfriend and I are convinced that he is the higher power responsible for bringing us together, because we met while live tweeting a Dragon Gate show. So if there's anyone in this world who is responsible for that, I think Genki is using some sort of magical powers to have brought us together. So for that, I am eternally grateful. Genki Horiguchi, arigato gozaimasu.
You know, you may be onto something here.
I think that gif of Genki clapping with a smile on his face, it's enough to cure the world, I think, if used properly.
The one where they cut cameras on laughing?
One shot, not enough. Got to get two shots in there for Genki. The other alternate version of the Jimmy's theme, technically speaking, isn't even a Jimmy theme. It's for the sumos, which was when Don Fuji, I am Don Fuji, goodbye. When Don Fuji teamed up with the Jimmys, they changed their name to the Sumos because Don Fuji used to be known as Sumo Fuji. So let's hear the Sumos version of Jimmy Knee Satisfaction.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
We are Sumo.
So it's literally the same song, same enthusiasm, same energy, same structure. They just made some minor tweaks to it, like changing the word Jimmy to sumo, changing oi 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 to dostoy dostoy, and adding a little hand drumming there to the opening. Which, to be honest, this whole sumo song affair, it's totally a Jimmy's thing to do. Because Jimmy's, yes, they're endearing, they're lovable, they're also very silly, and they're very goofy. You don't see a lot of, you know, serious units, you know, using a giant rubber band attack on people, you know? So becoming the Sumos and changing their theme to reflect that and letting Genki sing as well on the previous version and all that fun stuff, it's a very apropos for the Jimmys.
Yeah, no, I basically agree. I really love the Sumos. I kind of wish that they'd done a little bit more, even though, you know, they still did quite a lot. They had the even Sumos versus Berserk as a series that was really fun.
Well, anything involving Don Fuji is immediately perfect and amazing.
That is
anything that less is any description other than that for this song, I think, is inaccurate, because Don Fuji is just, he's Genki Horiguchi is a treasure, but Don Fuji, he is the treasure. Who doesn't love Don Fuji? And people who don't like Dragon Gate love Don Fuji. So that says
everybody loves him.
You need to know. Everyone loves Don Fuji. Although I do think that there's a missed opportunity here for, instead of calling them the Sumos, call them the Fugees.
Ah,
and then they
yes.
come out to a little Wyclef Jean, a little Lauryn Hill.
Ready or not, here I come, gonna find. You're onto something there, Chris. You're onto something.
Missed opportunities.
So those were the unit themes for the Jimmys, and now we'll get to the individual themes. We start with Susumu Yokosuka, aka Jimmy Susumu. This is by Hiroaki Sano, and it's called Yokosuka Liner. Right off the bat here, I hear that lovely, beautiful keyboard intro, which recurs throughout the song, and I immediately thought, what is this? I know this. I know this from somewhere. Where? And then, after a little thinking, it hit me. Now, you may know this reference, you may not, but I'll run it by you guys anyway. It's the same tune from the intro to Sweet Talkin' Woman by ELO. They sound so similar to me, I had to bring it up. And they're so lovely, I had to bring it up. And ELO comparisons aside, once the song kicks in, it's go time. And that's an important distinction here with the singles themes of the Jimmys. It's not all fun and wacky good times. There are some kick-ass guitars in here, some furious drumming too. It's a lot more serious and technically complex than the Jimmys theme is, which we'll see again over the course of the episode. Milo, your Jimmy Susumu theme thoughts?
My Jimmy Susumu theme thoughts, I love it. when I think about it, there is not a single solo theme for the Jimmys that I don't like. And this one I think is so freaking epic. It's really like, when you try to imagine an epic theme song, that's what I think about. For me, it's right up there with High Energy.
Ooh. Mm.
It's not even my favorite Jimmy's theme song, but it's so, I don't even know how to describe it. I love hearing that song so much because it's like you said, it's go time. If the Jimmy's theme tells you that you're about to have a good time, Susumu's theme tells you that you're about to be blown away. I mean, I'm a huge Susumu fan, definitely one of the biggest I know, but I just think it's a song that fits him very, very well. And especially during that little chunk of time in 2016 where he had, you know, that kind of gold watch reign with the Dreamgate, I thought hearing that theme when he beat Shingo was honestly one of the best things ever.
When he beat Shingo, that moment, I can only describe it as euphoric.
Yeah, absolutely.
The visual, the music, and the moment, incredible. For many reasons on many levels. What a stunning piece of music. What a stunning wrestler, too. The guy is incredible, a very beautiful man.
That is true,
And the music is right there with him. The intro is as major key as you can get, especially for a wrestling theme, while still being completely metal and epic. I mean, that's across the board for the Jimmys. You wouldn't know it by their unit theme, like Andrew said, but the Jimmys are metal as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
All across the board.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of metal on this list here. Speaking of epic, we have to bring up the big match version of this theme. We've had some big match themes on the podcast every now and then, so let's hear how this sounds, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Big match themes often have extended intros or different intros. This is no different. And I gotta say, talk about epic. This intro is fucking epic to the max. It's incredible. It starts off with that little warbly sound effect that. Then it goes into the piano melody. And I mean, you wanna make something that's already great even more important and epic and prestigious? Step one, add a choir.
Oh, yes.
I am a big choir guy. We all know this. Love the backup choir on this one. Also, you got those extra keyboards in there and the extra flourishes in the piano itself. Oh, baby, you got a stew going, baby. It's wonderful. So good. So epic.
Yeah, I cannot top that. Like, I just can't. I can't top what you just said, even if I tried.
Everything I said for the original version basically times 1,000. I mean, not only are the extra piano parts just completely beautiful, but I mean, me and Andrew, we're a couple of choir boys here. We love choirs. Anytime you're gonna
love it so much.
They add so much, and who that would give anyone goosebumps. I mean, you can't listen to that and not just feel moved in some way. It's triumphant. It's euphoric. It's amazing. And anytime you get a big match theme, it's an extra special moment. And when it happens to be this one, it's everything that I love about wrestling just right there in that moment. That's what I'm here for.
All right, our next Jimmy is Kness, a.k.a. Jimmy Kness, JKS. His theme is by Yohei, featuring Masaaki Endo, and it's called Burst Out. I mean, this thing, forget the piano intros, forget any build-up. Kness has a straight-up rager of a theme from the get-go.
You can find him in the club.
I feel like I should be taking E every time I hear it.
You feel like you should be taking ecstasy. Oh, wow.
Yeah, listen.
Don't do that. Don't do it,
of course, but still, this thing, the point stands, this theme is as ravey and frantic as you can get here, but also still metal elements in there.
Oh yes.
Guitars are in there. There's a blistering guitar solo in there near the end, which is fucking awesome. But that's all I have to say about this theme. It's fucking raging awesomeness. It's so much fun.
You know, I find it like, I don't even know what the proper word to use in the situation is, but I find it an amazing coincidence in a way that you would describe a theme as ravey when it was written by a guy called Yohei.
It's perfect.
It is a beautiful coincidence.
Can you explain that one to me, please, as the...
Dove Pro!
Oh, fucking Christ.
Yohei, current one half of the Noah Junior Tag Team Champion?
Of course. God damn me. Of course. I didn't make the connection. The ravey bastard.
I really love him so much. All right, anyway, so Kness, this is really a theme that I wish I could hear more, because, you know, I mean, Kness is basically like, he's what, 45 years old and made of glass? No, but really, Kness is like old.
Yeah,
like even by Jimmy's standards. But yeah, he's so he doesn't have a lot of singles matches. You don't really get to hear this theme often, which I think is a total shame, because it is a rager. Are we in the 90s? I mean, I love it, but I have to get on with the vocabulary.
It's rad.
It is radical. It is. But yeah, but I mean, I love Kness not as much as Case loves him, because I don't think that's possible. But he's really someone that I enjoy a lot. I mean, he's an original. He invented so much of the stuff that the young Dragon Gates guy do now. I mean, he deserves to get more singles matches. Also, so we could hear that theme.
Yeah.
It's not a lost gem, but almost, because it's probably the Jimmy's theme that you hear the least.
Yeah, I would say it is. I mean, I hear it a lot because I listen to Dragon Gate themes a lot, so it's always in my rotation. But it is weird whenever you hear it hit when you're watching a show and you're like, oh shit, yeah, this is possible. He can actually have a singles match. This is weird.
Yeah, yeah. Or sometimes when he gets the pin.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too, yeah.
Even that's rare, so.
A rare treat.
Exactly.
But I mean, there's just something about like a trance type synth, a gated synth layered over some high gain guitars that will never not be cool to me. So this theme is right in my wheelhouse. I will say, very similar in its sound and its production to Dragon Kid's theme.
Oh.
It's a very, very EDM sounding song, mm-hmm. But it also has a lot of the heavy metal riffing going on.
That's another connection you can make between the two then.
Yeah. And I've always really enjoyed that. This song, actually, there's an early version of it, a little bit more stripped down, that's on one of Yohei's EPs that he released called Existence. But it's really cool to listen to earlier versions of this song that are a little bit more stripped down in terms of different synth patches and some different guitar tones, things like that. But the one that Kness is using now, I love it. I love the repeating vocal line that comes in around the halfway mark. I have no idea what it's saying, but that's never stopped me from singing along.
Me neither, but no.
Yeah, and that fucking scorcher of a solo, too. I mean, my God.
Oh, so great. Yeah, I am maybe a little ashamed to admit this, but for the longest time, I referred to the former Darkness Dragon as Kness. And I said Kness during a conversation with John Carroll. And boy, did I get a talking to about that one. They gave me a virtual wag of the finger and told me in no uncertain terms, it's not Kness, it's Kness. So since then, I have trained myself dutifully to not say Kness, but Kness. I'm still working on Ishii. I'm being facetious. John didn't yell at me. They're very cordial about it. It was all, you know, listen, I said Masaaki, right?
There you go.
So I got one at least.
Just think of Eazy-E for Ishii, and there you go.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Real motherfucking G's.
Wow. You sure said that.
Anyway, we played Yokosuka's theme, and now we've just played Kness's theme. And wouldn't you know it?
Time for the best song in the history of the
world. It's time for their tag team theme, because they are a tag team called Kineska. Their theme is by Top Gun, the band, not the movie. And it's called Kizuna. I'm going to eschew talking about the music here. It's your typical rock and roll goodness, all good. I want to focus on the lyrics, because Kineska, they've been teaming on and off since 2003. So they have quite the history together and quite the bond. And the lyrics really drive home the point of just how close Kness and Yokosuka are. The title alone, Kizuna, is Japanese for bonds, as in the things that tie us together. And the verses and the chorus are all about the bonds of friendship and having a partner by your side. Keep in mind, this is Google Translate, so it's not perfect by any means, but you've got lines like, friendship never going to disappear while holding hope in the chest. The two powers are unlimitedly screaming like a burning scream, two hearts. Or something like this line, which is, our way of life, I must fight. We can feel this bond, you must fight. We must fight. It's all very direct in getting across the strength of the partnership and the bonds that hold a team together and hold a friendship together. That's what Kineska have and have had for many years at this point.
It's legitimately one of my favorite songs ever. Like, not just wrestling themes. It's one of my favorite songs. It's just so fucking epic. And also, kind of tying into my experience being a newer fan of Dragon Gate, Kineska are a team, that had most of their glory days before I became a fan. So I didn't really get to follow them when they were using that theme a lot. Now that they were, you know, part of the Jimmies and didn't really team just the two of them very often, I came to associate that theme with like special occasions. Because I discovered their previous and most acclaimed work as a team retroactively rather than following it over the months and the years. So when I get to hear it now in current Dragon Gate that I've been following over the months and the years that I've been watching, I really associate it with a special moment, something that should be really appreciated and cherished. And so, you know, it's a song that fills me with a lot of good vibes and happiness and strength, and just kind of makes me feel like I could slay a dragon, you know? Or a two-headed wolf.
Or Shingo Takagi.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's I think it's amazing. I love the vocals so much. When it goes just in the chorus, belts out at the end, is so freaking epic. And, such a great song that I love so much.
I'm in lockstep here with Milo, because for me, this transcends being just a great wrestling theme song. I think it's just a great song, period. You can take this song and you can play it in any style with any type of instrumentation. I still think it'd be amazing. And I think that's the power of a strong melody and strong chord progressions. And I mean, this song's just fucking bursting with strong melodies. I think it's probably one of the top catchiest wrestling themes that I've ever heard. And I mean, that chorus, I don't know one word of this song, but again, that does not stop me from singing the song at the top of my lungs in the car. I mean, it's just, and then reading the translated lyrics, like Andrew brought up, it just makes it even more beautiful.
So would you say that you identify Kineska as a romantic relationship?
You know, I would have to after reading the lyrics. I mean, you can't not. I mean, two powers are unlimitedly screaming like a burning scream, two hearts. I mean, fuck. I mean, that's the most romantic shit I've ever heard in my life. So
mm-hmm. Thank you.
My experience with this song is that it'll play and then repeat, 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 yeah. Repeat, repeat. And then I just fucking put the phone on repeat because I can't stop. It's just, you know, it's an all day thing when this song comes on. I can't stop listening to it. It's just, I have to hear it over and over and over. So
yeah, when that chorus hits, it's hard to not get goosebumps when you hear it, especially, you know, just the way it's structured, the da na 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 na. And when it hits the crescendo at the end, they're too hot. It's like, ah, fuck yeah, baby. Fuck yeah.
Chris, you said you have it on your phone in your rotation and everything. Has it ever happened to you that you have your music on shuffle, you're walking down the street, that intro kicks in?
Yep.
And you just kind of start feeling like you're in a fucking like epic medieval fantasy about to like ride on a dragon to kill a fucking giant stone monster or whatever, I don't know.
Exactly.
When that intro, I swear to God, when that intro kicks in, I become an X-Men. Like, I get super powered.
Without hope, the evil will conquer the world. There is no more saviors left. No, we have two. We have Kineska.
Exactly. That is exactly.
And speaking of that intro, remind anyone else of Crazy Train? Da-na-na-na-na.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there on that one, Chris. Yes.
It's a very similar riff.
There's also a big match version of this theme available on Open the Music Gate Unit History 1999 to 2014. It's by Yoshifumi Ushima. So let's hear a little bit of that. So the bulk of the song remains pretty much the same. There's some production differences kind of here and there, some extra flourishes of the synth peppered in throughout. It's mostly the same, though. What this one, though, does have, of course, the special intro and outro as well. It's the main melody played on a harpsichord, which is pretty cool because, personally, it reminds me of Kojima's theme.
Ah.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, the song's already perfect, but it's always fun to hear, like, a new mix or an alternate version of a song you love, especially for a big match version. The cool thing about this one is it's just so much more metal. The rhythm guitars are heavier, and especially the drums, and a lot of double bass, and a sweet, sweet harmony guitar solo, and I love me a harmony guitar solo, so it ticks all my boxes, and it's a small touch, but there's a little one-bar bridge with some, like, EDM-style drums after the solo. And to me, it makes for a nice little reference, whether intentional or not, to Kinesis' theme. It brings it full circle for me and puts a little stamp on it, and I think it's awesome.
Up next is the singles theme for Genki Horiguchi, aka Genki Horiguchi H-A-G-Me. It's by Kohei, and it's called Go to Heaven H-A-G-Me Mix. H-A-G-Me.
Go!
This is the remixed version of Horiguchi's theme that he had before the Jimmys, Go to Heaven by Kohei, and it's been Jimmy-fied. So you have the H-A-G-me, do-do-do-do, H-A-G-me chants throughout the song, which I suppose of the individual Jimmy themes that we've played so far, this is the one that has the most singability amongst the fans. You can't really sing along to Yokosuka's theme or Kinesa's theme, but everyone can do the H-A-G-me chant.
I wanted to say this also when we were talking about his vocal version of the Jimmy's theme. It's something that I love about Genki is that you always have a leader in a unit. And I feel like with the Jimmys, you have kind of two types of leaders. I always saw Susumu as like the kind of like the captain of the team when it's time to kind of go into battle. But Genki is the true leader of the group. And it's weird because Susumu was the one who was there from the start with Kagetora. But Genki really grew into the real kind of ringleader. He's the ringmaster. He's the one who's like, come on, come on, ladies and gentlemen. We are the Jimmys and we are here to entertain you. That's how I see Genki.
He's the heart and soul of the group, I think. The emotional core that pulls people in the most.
And he's always the one who gets the most emotional whenever something big happens with the Jimmys. Whether it's positive or negative, he's always the one that the camera zooms in and no matter what happens, he's crying. Which is extremely relatable, of course. But yeah, so I think it makes sense that he's the one who has the theme that you can really sing along to. You know, and you could already sing along to Go to Heaven and Go to Hell. But this one with, you know, the added H-A-G-me, stuff like that, it's to lead the crowd. He's a magnet. It's impossible to watch Genki Horiguchi and not be drawn in by him. So I feel like it's only normal that he has the theme that's the catchiest to sing along to.
Very appropriate, yeah. Of course, after the whole, you know, H-A-G-me chants, everything else is just nuts.
Yeah.
You know, it's the crazy guitars, the crazy synths, the very dramatic vocals. We light up the skies, go to heaven. It's all, you know, very par for the course of Dragon Gate, I think, in terms of the, like we mentioned, of course, the metal, ravey sort of combination there. But adding the whole H-A-G-me mix to it, that just, it grounds it with the fans, I think. You know, it makes it more emotional.
It's fucking genius. And you would think that it's a no-brainer to incorporate a chant into a theme song.
Yeah.
But the stroke of brilliance as to emulating the fans clapping their hands and just doing that with a snare drum, the ga, 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 ga. It's brilliant. And it's a stroke of brilliance. And this is really, to me, the only instance that I can think of this happening in a wrestling theme. So for this, in and of itself, it's on another level for me, because doing that, it just makes it, it's so easy to chant along to. But, I mean, the song before the chant, before the H-A-G-me version, was already a brilliant song, whether Go to Heaven or Go to Hell. Both really cool slices of virtuoso metal, which is really huge in a lot of Japanese themes, that kind of just Marty Friedman shred metal that just works so well, and it has such a great aesthetic. And the cool thing is you also have a synth run that goes along with everything that is both ascending and descending at the same time. So you could say that the synth run is basically going to heaven and going to hell at the same time.
Ooh.
Which musically, it just fits like a fucking glove. It's amazing. And then you have those breakdowns after the main sections, the H-A-G-me breakdowns, and that's really just the stuff that dreams are made of. And ripping guitar solos all over the place, just ton of great lead guitar work, just metal as fuck. And if you want an even darker slice of this, then listen to Go to Hell, because that's even darker and even more metal. And Genki Horiguchi, by the way, again, a treasure, and I love him.
Bringing up, again, the whole H-A-G-me thing. First of all, I can't stress enough, that is a Hall of Fame level pun right there from Genki Horiguchi. Because for those that are not aware, Genki Horiguchi started losing his hair early in his career, and the fans started chanting H-A-G-E at him, because hage is the Japanese word for bald. So that's, I gotta say, it's a clever way to incorporate Jimmy into his name and also reference the whole H-A-G-E thing that is part of his persona. What's cool to think about, too, is the fact that he could easily have gone with Jimmy Horiguchi or Jimmy Genki, but he went with Genki Horiguchi H-A-G-Me, and that's another example of the Jimmys being this, like, safe zone for people. Like, yes, Horiguchi's hairline is, it's horrendously bad, but his baldness is what makes him a Jimmy, and being a Jimmy is A-okay. So it all ties in together in this, like, neat multicolored bow. How it all works together is really cool.
Yeah, really, that's the amazing thing about the Jimmys, is that they've always been about turning weaknesses into strengths.
Exactly.
One more thing for me, and this is just for you, Chris. The lead singer of this, "See Light of the Skies Go to Heaven," he sounds kind of like a higher in pitch Dave Mustaine to me. He's got that kind of nasally thing going for Dave. Do you know what I mean there?
Japanese Dave,
like a younger Japanese Dave Mustaine, perhaps.
Konnichiwa, me. Meet the real me.
Are you okay?
It's a metal thing. Okay. It's a heavy metal thing. Don't worry about it. Our next Jimmy is Ryo Saito, aka Ryo Jimmy Saito. His theme is by Tsutomu Toya, and it's called Dragonfly. Another instrumental here, and I don't have much to say about it, but what I do have to say about it may sound like an insult at first, but I don't mean it that way at all, because this song sounds like it came straight out of the 80s to me. Everything from the guitar tones to those keyboard accents, as da, 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 and the intro there to the main keyboard melody and the hook sounds like the fake horns from like every 80s song. It all screams 80s to me, but again, not an insult, because I love me some 80s rock, and there's some excellent music here, some excellent guitar work. Now that I think about it, actually, it's either 80s rock or a casino level in an old video game, you know? Is that kind of sound to me.
I really, really, really love this theme. Again, kind of like Kinesis' theme, it's a theme that I wish I could hear more often. You know, like when I'm watching Dragon Gate, because I can hear it whenever I want it. I have it on my computer. When I'm watching Dragon Gate, this is a theme that I wish I could hear more often. And it's also why the music is a lot of the reason why I love King of Gates.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because in King of Gate, you can hear all the themes that you love.
Yeah.
It's funny because when you look at Ryo Saito, you wouldn't necessarily envision him having a theme like this. I mean, current Ryo Saito, you know, in the Jimmys, you'd be more likely to think that he has a theme kind of like Genki's, you know?
Yeah.
Because they are kind of the comedic duo, right, of the Jimmys. At least I think so. As you know, they were a super fun tag team through all of their iterations. I love their heel work. You would kind of, when you see some of the goofy stuff that Ryo Saito does, you would kind of imagine him having a more kind of family-friendly theme, kind of like Genki, but he always kept, you know, Dragonfly as his theme. And it's one thing that I love, because as much as I love fun-loving and family-friendly Ryo Saito, I love serious Ryo Saito even more. And I really always love it when you're watching like a Jimmy's Triangle Gate title match that he's involved in, because you can always kind of tell the moment when he kicks it into the next gear and becomes kind of, well, my favorite Ryo Saito is Suplex Machine Ryo Saito. Yeah, when he turns the Suplex Machine on, I'm like, fuck yeah, this is my guy. And I'm glad that the theme is here to remind you that Big Match Saito is real and he exists and he is among us. Yeah, it's another theme that I would describe as epic, not quite as much as Kizuna, but it's a reminder that he's not here to play. He's here to win.
That's true. And he will occasionally hit the cycling Yahoo. That'll occasionally happen.
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
Sometimes.
Man, there's a lot of riffs going on here. There's a lot of keyboards going on here. Kind of like Andrew, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean it in a pejorative sense at all. But this, to me, my interpretation, my take on this, is that it sounds kind of like early 90s production music that's still kind of trapped in the 80s. So like stock music from a production library that would have been in like a children's VHS tape about firefighters. and yes, I'm referring to a specific VHS tape that I may or may not still own it and watch it on occasion when I'm feeling extra nostalgic. But that's anywho. It's delightful. You have the really cheesy horns, which sound like they came from like an old 80s Roland synthesizer. There's a lot of really cool riffing and a great lead guitar melody that comes in around 1 minute in. When that lead comes in, oh man, I'm thriving. There's a lot here that I really love. And like Milo said, I wish that we could hear this more on a live show, you know, watching a show. I wish that this was a bit more prevalent. It's just like every theme that we've heard so far. They've all been delightful in their own way. And this is no exception.
Do you think if Saito changed the name of the move to the cycling Google, he would hit it more? Ba-dum-bum.
Cycling Bing, maybe. Cycling Jeeves. We're horrible.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Milo.
Welcome to the podcast, Milo.
Cycling Google.
Cycling Google, cycling Bing. Oh, God. Who are we? Next up is Yasushi Kanda, a.k.a. Jimmy Kanda. This theme is by our old buddy, Akma. This is Kickstart the Elephant. Okay, story time here. I was taking notes for these various themes, and I had my earbuds in, nice and snug, and I clicked play on the song, and as you, the audience, just heard there from the intro, the song starts with a stinger, and the stinger is the most frightening elephant sound that I've ever heard in my life. It legit made me jump, and I was lying down in bed. Because we've all heard the stock elephant noise in every movie and TV show or radio show ever, that it's just that, you know, stock elephant noise. This elephant sounds like it's in severe pain.
Well, it's just been kickstarted by Jimmy Kanda, so...
I know, it's been kickstarted, maybe it's been attacked by hunters, maybe it's giving birth to something, I don't know. It was so jarring, to say the least, but... Chris, we've seen this before with Akma.
Yes.
Because Akma loves the animal stinger. On the Blood Generation theme, Follow Your Generation, Acid Alkaline Bloody Trip Mix, that has a horse neighing as the stinger. So Akma is pretty fond of using the animals. Now, as far as the theme goes, safe to say that this is the grittiest theme on our list. No fun keyboards, no ravey energy, no swathy synths, no rave beats, just straight up toughest nails rock and roll. Singer, guitar, bass, drums, and this level of grittiness makes sense for Kanda, I think, because from what I've read, he spent the majority of his career as a heel. So to have a theme like this, which is very, you know, angry and gritty and kick start the elephant kick. It all makes sense for Kanda.
This is such an apropos thing to talk about because Kanda literally just turned heel.
Yes.
Everybody was like, oh, Yasushi Kanda, the traitor, I hate you, Kanda, whatever, whatever. First of all, everybody knows that I'm a huge vanilla baby and I love baby faces and I will always root for the baby faces. And also I hate Berserk. But to me, I mean, if any one of the Jimmys was going to turn heel, come on, it had to be. I mean, I thought it was going to be Kagetora, but it makes so much sense for it to be Kanda. It's in his blood. That's who he is. He is one of the most iconic heels in the history of the Dragon system. And those years taken off his career did not change that. You know, he's... I get really emotional talking about Kanda. He's my favorite Jimmy. He's one of my favorite Dragon Gate guys. And I can't wait to see where this new hero run takes him. but this theme is perfect for him. I think it just fits him so well. And, you know, Mike from Open the Voice Gate and I, we have this running gag that Kanda is the perfect friend to bury a body with. Like, he would help you. He would watch, people, and he would, like, pass you all the tools that you need. This song feels like what would be playing over a movie scene of two people who just committed a crime and are driving away in their getaway car. Does it not sound like that?
It does.
It does. What I'm imagining is, let's say you've killed someone by accident or on purpose, whatever. You got a body in front of you. Kanda comes over, helps chop up the body. Now, do you put the body parts in the big blue crate?
Yes.
I imagine you do.
That's what it's here for.
Of course. I'm just, listen, there's a lot of moving parts here, okay? I mean, you gotta plan this stuff out here. So, Kanda.
How are you talking?
I mean, look, if it's Ryota Hama, you're gonna need a bigger crate. If it's like, I don't know, Hornswoggle, hey, pretty small crate there.
You don't have to chop him up.
I know, exactly. Just put him in there.
He's pre-chopped.
Yes.
No, but like, you gotta take in, you know, everything. What are we talking like? Are we talking like 5'10"?
Yeah, a standard height.
Standard. So are we talking Shingo right here? Because I would definitely chop it up.
Ugh, where are we? Where are we?
See, this is the Open the Voice Gate curse. Every podcast that we get on, you always end up getting sidetracked.
Chris, save us, please. Your thoughts on Kickstart the Elephant.
Well, I love Milo's description of this being the getaway scene in a movie. A movie perhaps directed by John Woo, maybe?
Ba-dum-bum.
A lot of these themes have leaned more towards metal, but this one, I think this is punk rock as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Kanda.
Just like Kanda. And one of the coolest Dragon Gate themes ever, and much like Kizuna, I think completely works outside of a wrestling context, like Milo said. It could be in a movie, or it could just be just a really cool song by a cool band. Mm. Great job out of Akma for this one. Much like Milo, I've always had a special place in my heart for Jimmy Kanda. One of the first Dragon Gate matches that I actually watched when I started following it regularly, like the first show that I decided I'm jumping into this promotion because it looks great, like the first match on that show was Jimmy Kanda versus Flamita. Ever since then, I've just loved this dude. I think it was the pants. I think it was the pants that did it for me initially. And I'd like to track down a pair of those pants and wear them as pajamas.
Look very comfy.
They look so comfortable. Like, how could you?
I know.
Like, that's the thing. He has to change his gear now, because how could you be a heel wearing those pants?
He changed it. They're just red now.
They're red now? Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
The international color for heels.
And maybe a different material, too, because those blue pants just look so comfortable.
I have a friend who calls them his Dragon Ball pants.
There you go. But I love Jimmy Kanda, and I'm going to say that he's my favorite Jimmy as well, just because of that. Just from the get-go of me really diving into Dragon Gate, he was the guy that I was like, well, this is awesome. And he does a cool little dropkick and yells John Woo. How can you not love this guy?
Have you seen much of his heel work?
I've seen a few matches.
There's a hatred that runs deep in the Dragon Gate fandom for Deep Drunkards.
Oh, yes. John mentioned this quite a bit.
There's a soft spot in my heart for that unit, for the sole fact that Kanda was a part of it, and he looked really fucking good. Deep Drunkards was pretty abysmal, but Kanda was pretty cool in it.
Now, Kickstart the Elephant. As I said last time, Chris, what the hell does that mean? I guess since the elephant is a really big creature that tramples things, Kanda wants to kickstart the elephant in himself and trample his opponents on his way to the top, perhaps?
It doesn't need to mean anything. What does Legend Falconry mean?
What does Dress for Excellence Pyramid mean?
That we just don't know.
It's a mystery. Yeah.
You know, it's been 2 years and I'm still not exactly able to pinpoint what Yamato Spirit is.
It's something.
I've long given up on trying to interpret Dragon Gate.
Lyrics, titles.
Just the names, you know?
Yeah.
We still have two more themes to go with names that I don't understand either.
Yeah. It's a recurring theme, yeah. The second to last Jimmy to talk about is Kagetora, aka Jimmy Kagetora. This is another track by Yohei, and it's called Strike Still Rounder. cool little song. Technically great instrumental. Got a great, you know, guitar little line there. Great synth there as well. It does incorporate some of the more traditional Japanese instruments in there, like the string instrument and the flute as well. So it has, I think, some stuff in common with Taka's theme, Yamato Suite 4.
Sure.
In that regard, definitely. Similar vibes
there. I wish Kagetora's theme started like Taka's.
We don't get Kagetora is coming, motherfucker.
But why not?
We can dream.
Yohei, get on it.
Yeah. We can all dream about it. But great little song. Milo, thoughts on the oddly named Strike Still Rounder?
I love it. I love it. And again, song I wish I could hear more often, that I thankfully can hear more often now that Kagetora has a title. But yeah, I think it fits in pretty well, because Kagetora is probably the most kind of serious member of the Jimmies. You know, they were all pretty silly guys, but Kagetora was kind of like, this is how I like to interpret the Jimmies, okay? So you've got kind of, I think this is an expression that you guys use in English, cul-de-sac, with like little houses at the end of a loop street.
Cul-de-sac, yeah.
I mean, it's French, so it seems, I can say that how I want.
Yeah, fine.
So you got that, right? And you got all these little houses, and you all have all these single fathers. And these single fathers are the Jimmies, and they're all about the same age, like late 30s, early 40s. And then you have this new single dad that's way younger, that just moved in. And he's kind of like getting in with the shenanigans, but he's also like, what the fuck are these old men doing? That's Kagetora in the Jimmies. This was a very long-winded analogy, and I apologize. But you know, he always kind of seems like, he never really felt out of place, of course. He was an original Jimmy. He was very much a vital part of the unit for all of its run, bar, you know, the year or so that he was out with his injury. But he's still kind of the more serious side of the unit. And I think this is a theme that reflects it. Yes, I did all this analogy just to say that. I mean, I just want to confess to something. It's literally the plot of Dream Daddy.
I in my mind, I was like, is this some like Dream Daddy thing I've been hearing about? But
it is literally the plot of Dream Daddy.
There you go. There you go. I was going to say it, but I figured, you know what? I'll give Milo the benefit of the doubt here. I was wrong.
That has never worked out in any way.
I was wrong. It is Dream Daddy.
It was very apt, though. It was very good.
Chris, your thoughts on this theme?
There was a time when this was my most listened to wrestling theme. I would just, I don't know why, but I would just keep it on repeat in the car, during workouts, whatever. There was just something about it at a certain point in time, especially when I was starting to track down a lot of Dragon Gate music. And I think it's also interesting that it is the first theme that we've talked about here that has any distinctly Japanese elements to it, which for me it goes a long way in adding that level of seriousness. And as Milo's mentioned, he's the more
samurai of superiority.
He is. He's the most stoic of the bunch. And another really, really, really strong main melody. I think that's the overarching theme here. Very strong melodies, very catchy, and very easy to get into and easy to remember.
I think what I really love about the Jimmies, and I think a recurring thing that I've said, is that all of their themes fit them very well. It's a thing where you can kind of compare that to younger wrestlers, where look at Lindemann, for example. Lindemann, as a wrestler, had I love his theme so much. But he hasn't used it once since he joined Berserk, because it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, he definitely can't use that now.
It just doesn't fit. The Jimmies, because they're a collection of misfits, because they don't necessarily follow one single theme, they all got to keep the themes that we knew. You know, they got remixes, they got maybe modernized versions, but they've had the same for so long because they have such strong identities. A guy like Lindemann, that's only been around for a couple of years, you could change his theme, you can take his theme away. He's still building that identity. But the Jimmies, they have strong presences, they have strong identities, they have that history, they have those themes that are so strongly identified with them, and they still manage to all fit together. And you can't take Go to Heaven / Go to Hell away from Genki Horiguchi for the sake of a unit. You can't take Kickstart the Elephant away from Konda for the sake of a unit, the way that they took Linda's theme away from him because it doesn't fit the theme of Berserk.
Yeah, and you also can't give those to anyone else either.
Right.
They wouldn't work. They're tied into the DNA of those wrestlers.
Exactly. And even though Kadetora is not as deeply rooted in Dragon Gate history as the others, his theme still fits him so well and is so associated with him and with his style and who he is that you can't change it, even if it seems too serious for the Jimmies.
The final theme on our list is for Naoki Tanizaki, a.k.a. Here we go.
You do it!
I got it. All right. Mr. QQ Naoki Tanizaki Toyonaka Dolphin.
Yay!
And, hooray! And if you're wondering why the fuck does he have that name, it's a long story involving T-Hawk and penguins. It's a whole big to-do.
Sounds like a dream. A whole story involving T-Hawk and penguins.
I know. Go read Michael Spears' article. He explains the whole thing. The artist is Eno Head Park, and the theme is Shining Wave, Casanova Bomber Fire. So at the very beginning, we established that the Jimmies were a very positive group, very upbeat, very happy, and their unit theme was very much the same way. This is not that. This is the opposite of that. This is like the anti-Jimmies song, where instead of being fun and joyful, it's angry and violent. From the first second when that deep bass note hits, that bow, you know some heavy, heavy shit's about to go down. And it does. Like, people are chanting, fight! Fight! There's a siren in the background. The music is as violent and wild and crazy as it gets. Much more so than the Jimmies' music is. There's guttural shouting. They even corrupted the Jimmies' oi, oi, oi! Where instead of it being, like, quick and fun, like a soccer chant, it's slow and menacing, like, oi, oi, oi! It's so pounding. I mean, for Pete's sake, the song ends with a maniacal laugh. I mean, no wonder Tanizaki betrayed the Jimmies. I mean, not to say I don't like the song, because I do, I like it a lot, but it's such a stark contrast with the happiness of the Jimmies theme. That's what makes it stand out, I think. Of the themes that we have here, this is the one I think that stands out the most from the main Jimmies theme. On one spectrum we have, we are Jimmies. The spectrum we have, you know, bring the pain that I got. It's very, very different.
I can't remember if it's only in the English language version or if it's in both versions, but at some point there's literally just a kind of guttural voice repeating, I want more pain.
Yes, that's the English version. Give me more pain.
You kind of change it to where you're like, okay. it's a heavy song, but I really, really love it. This song, I feel, is kind of like Kizuna in a way that you can listen to it totally outside of a wrestling contest. And it fits in amazingly well. You know, Tanizaki was one of my first favorite wrestlers in Dragon Gate. He's a guy that really jumped out at me so fast. One thing that I love is that he's kind of a wild, unpredictable wrestler. He loves his knee strikes. He's quick on his feet. He's a little unhinged. God, I hate using that word in a wrestling context. I always think of Dean Ambrose. Hate it. But it fits, you know? And so I always kind of feel like this song really reflects who he is. And this is, again, the recurring theme of this Jimmy's episode is really how well their songs fit their personalities. And this song fits Tanizaki really, really, really well. And you're right. It's no wonder he betrayed the Jimmies when this is what's going on in his brain.
There's been a lot of metal that we've heard today, but open up the fucking circle pit for this one.
The guitar in this song goes a little crazy.
There's a sick, sick guitar solo. I feel like I've said this for every song, but there's really a lot of great lead guitar work going on. And I would just like to point that out because man, it's very, as someone who listens to a shit ton of metal, it's really cool to hear such great authentic metal in a pro wrestling context. Now, this theme, there was an earlier version of it released on the Dragonstorm album in 2005, and it sounds much different, but still the same basic theme. This version, though, just takes it to a whole new level. You have crazy synths going all over the place, layering with the guitar melodies, and you have great vocals, great, excellent vocals, and like I said, a sick guitar solo. But those fight chants, if that doesn't get you ready to watch a professional wrestling match, I really don't know what will. I love this theme, and I miss Tanizaki. I mean, since hasn't been working Dragon Gate, I just want his presence around. I like him a lot. He's another guy that I gravitated towards immediately because of his ridiculous name when I first started watching. that is very fun to say. It's also fun to hear Andrew say it.
You did well.
I'm very proud.
I did well. Thank you. Gold star for me. Isn't it interesting, though, that the two Jimmy's members that have aggressive lyrics in their songs, Kanda and Tanizaki, those were the ones who turned on the Jimmys.
Yeah, and they also, like, it's again ties into their songs fitting them as characters, as they're
right.
The ones that really have the history of being wild, violent heels, because they were both warriors and deep drunkers together. And, you know, Kanda has that added history of being, you know, a historic part of M2K, but they were, you know, in more recent Dragon Gate history, they weren't those kind of punk heel.
Yes.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall.
So that was our musical tribute to the Jimmys. You know, it's always tough when a tag team or a stable that you love breaks up, but it's always important to celebrate the life as well as mourn the death. The two, I think, are very important to do. The Jimmys, they've given people plenty of great matches, great memories, some great music to boot. And in that regard, I think they'll be in our hearts forever and forever. And now that I've gotten my, you know, sappy, cliched spiel out of the way, do you guys have any final thoughts on the Jimmys before we wrap up?
It's going to be very, very weird. Like, very, very weird to go forward into Dragon Gate not having them around and not hearing Jimmy and his Satisfaction anymore. I think that's what a lot of people are going to miss, is that On a Dragon Gate show, no matter how dire the situation, no matter how dastardly the heels, you always had that moment where Jimmy's Satisfaction hits and you had a respite from all of that. Well, except for like really serious matches. But, you know, when it's like a Kodakuen show or something, or it's just a title match, you really kind of, it's a little bright spot, you know? The next unit that is going to be born out of that has huge shoes to fill, the biggest shoes ever, basically, because they were, you know, these are guys that were already so iconic before the Jimmys, you know, Susumu, Horiguchi, Kanda, Saito, Kness, they're guys that have been instrumental in putting Dragon Gate on the map. Kaidotora and Tanizaki are guys that, you know, even though they haven't always been here, they haven't always been Dragon Gate, and they don't have the same importance, but they became important through their association with the Jimmys. They also became beloved. I think Kadutora's popularity really stems a lot from being in the Jimmys. And even though, you know, Tanizaki was always flip-flopping a little bit, he was still an important part. And you look at that unit, you look at the changes, the formation, you know, recruiting Kanda, Horiguchi, and Saito, getting Kness back, and then almost immediately losing Tanizaki. They've gone through everything a unit could possibly go through, and they never felt stale in their 5 years' existence. There was never a moment where you kind of felt like, oh, I wish the Jimmys didn't exist. You could say, oh, I wish this one individual member was not in the Jimmys, but you didn't feel the way that I feel about Berserk or the way that a lot of people feel about Tribe Vanguard. We kind of feel like this unit should not exist. They were such an integral part of the Dragon Gate landscape, and they did so much. They provided so much entertainment, so much joy, so many great moments that, you know, it's going to be before Jimmys and after Jimmys, the eras of Dragon Gate. And I'm really going to miss hearing Jimmy New Satisfaction. I really am.
Milo said it all and said it beautifully. There's really, you know, not a whole lot more that I can say. I haven't been watching a lot of wrestling in the latter part of this year. And the things that I made sure I watched were that Unit Disbands match and then the Jimmy's final match on the last Corkin, because it's that important to me. Even when I'm in a phase of not watching wrestling for whatever reason it might be, I know that I need to watch that, because I would feel awful if I missed it, if I didn't see that, because Jimmy's have been an important part of what has been an important company for me in the last few years of my wrestling fandom. So I am definitely going to miss them, but I will always remember how happy I was waking up obscenely early in the morning to watch Dragon Gate and just be so happy that the Jimmys were there and added to that experience so much and were so important to the whole thing. So I will miss them, but I'm very thankful for all of the memories and for that experience.
Well said, both of you. Well said. I know, like I said, you know, earlier, my connection to the Jimmys is very sparse, but given what you guys feel about them, I'm glad they're around, because if they can make my friends happy, then they're okay in my book. Well, that does it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, Milo, you are our guest co-host. We'll let you do the honors. Any plugs you want to give out? Go right ahead.
Well, I am on Open the Voice Gate, as you know. We release a new episode about once every blue moon. we try to be better. We actually going to try to record this weekend on the latest Karakuen, so that's going to be more crying about the Jimmys. And that's all I do right now. I'm kind of trying to still adapt to the life, so I'm not writing as much, but I am going to try to get back into that. But please listen to Open the Voice Gate if you like Dragon Gate, and if you like a lot of other stuff too. We are the kings of going on tangents. So if you enjoy that in your podcast, I'm sure you will love our company.
And Music of the Mat, like I said, part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network, as well as Open the Voice Gate, voicesofwrestling.com. That's where you'll also find the flagship podcast, Burning Spirits, New Japan Purocast, WrestleNomics, Everything Evolves, about 800 other great wrestling podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. Check out the Voices of Wrestling forums at voicesofwrestling.com/forum. That's also where Chris posts the YouTube playlists for each episode. Finally, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Player.fm, wherever you get your podcasts. Helps us a lot on the ratings. And of course, tell your friends about us. We're always open to getting new people on the show and on board the Muscular Mystery Tour. Chris, our next episode is another little landmark for us. Episode 20, according to my calendar, episode 20, scheduled to drop on October 31st. So what better way to celebrate Halloween than to do a little Music of the Mat Halloween scary theme spooktacular? Because wrestling has had its fair share of spooky and scary gimmicks, many of which have spooky and scary themes to go along with them. So we're going to pluck a few themes out of wrestling history and into your earbuds for a creepy, crawly Halloween episode. Chris, is going to be frighteningly fun.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought we were just going to dedicate the entire episode to the Mino version of the Undertaker's theme. I thought that's what we agreed upon.
You'll ruin the surprise. And rest assured, much like The Simpsons, we're going to have some special Halloween nicknames that I came up with.
Oh my God.
So it's going to be me, the Boo-barian, and you, the Scare Lord, and together we'll be the Cower Chords of Pain. Like, get it? Like, cowering in fear?
What about the candy corns of pain?
That is so much better.
Damn it, you may have beat me. You win this round, Gadget, but I'll get you next time. Milo, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was a real treat. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm sure in the future we'll have you on again sometime. Since usually, not always, but usually when we have guests on, they get a nickname of their own sometimes, I was kind of racking my brain trying to come up with one for you, Milo, and I finally did it. So, Milo Martinez, from this moment forth, you shall be known on this podcast as M2Yay.
opportunity to make an M2 gay joke.
Fuck! Yours is better again.
But the setup was there.
It was, I tried.
Sorry, Andrew.
Podcast over. Chris, how about this? As we end the show, as we fade away, let's play one more time the Jimmy's theme as a final salute to them. How about that?
I think we can do that.
For Milo Martinez and for Chris Maffei, I'm Andrew Rich. We'll see you next time on Music of the Mat, where everyone is a Jimmy. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.